This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hour three rolling along this morning. Good Wednesday to you. NBA playoffs continuing tonight. Knicks and Heat. That is game number five. Warriors, Lakers. That is also game number five. And both the Knicks and the Golden State Warriors could be eliminated by the time we get into early Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Meanwhile, last night, the Nuggets won their home game five. As we talked to Noah about this in Philadelphia, they won in Boston against the Celtics. And the Celtics, who have now lost three of their last four home games, find themselves facing elimination on Thursday night when they go to Philly for game six. The Nuggets, meanwhile, will take a 3-2 series lead to Arizona to face the Suns in game six Thursday, but Phoenix has won two games at home already in this series. In fact, this is where this series has gone. But last night was a game where a three-point lead at halftime for Denver. They exploded in the third quarter. The Suns couldn't get back into that game. They didn't have a 40-point night from Devin Booker. They didn't have a 39-point night from Kevin Durant. They didn't have that kind of game from either one of their superstars. But they could get Chris Paul back in Game 6 coming up on Thursday. There's a report that he's been working. He's been throwing some jump shots. That's a possibility. Now, there was one situation that was in the game last night that Monty Williams had his team kind of huddled up real quick to drop a play, and Nikola Jokic and a couple of other Denver Nuggets were kind of hanging around trying to take a peek at the play. And Bruce Brown was in there, and Jokic was leaning in, and Kevin Durant gave him a shove, and Kevin Durant earned a technical that night. That was in the third quarter. It was a 20-point lead for Denver at that period of time. But as Ron and I were talking about this morning, there wasn't a timeout. Is it gamesmanship to do that? Is it bad taste to do that? It seems to happen a lot in the NBA. Should the NBA actually write it down that you can't do that? That's what Monty Williams suggested at the end of the game. It's not a written rule.
No, but
he wants to be like, it happens too much. Let's not do it.
It feels like one of baseball's unwritten rules.
That, right,
you know,
yeah.
Like, everyone should just know that you don't do that. It's right. Like, well, why?
Why, right, exactly.
You know, on the one hand, I can understand why you don't do that. You're up 20 points. Do you really need extra leverage?
Yeah, exactly.
You're kicking the snot out of the Suns. You're good. But at the same time, I mean, if it's not an official timeout and they're willing to just say, hey, you know, here's our board, look what play I'm drawing up, and you happen to be standing right there.
Here's what Monty Williams said afterwards. He said, the league has to figure all this stuff out, man. There's just too much silliness going on in the NBA when it comes to that. Everybody does it, and it should be like a written rule that you don't walk over to somebody's huddle. Yeah, all right. Yeah, they're not going to do it in a timeout huddle, but they can do it when you're doing it when the players are on the court and you're just taking a few seconds to draw up something real quick.
Like the way Jokic was doing it, I mean, he was just trying to be subtle.
Right.
Was it Bruce Brown?
Bruce Brown was in there too.
He was like trying to literally get into the huddle.
Yeah, like, he was actually trying to move players away
He ended up getting a technical as well.
Yeah, I think he did too. He was assessed a technical as well.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, he was like that. That to me was, he was like, all right, come on, Bruce. Take a step back.
Well, Durant shoved Jokic, but before that, Jock Landale shoved Jokic, but Jokic didn't budge. But Durant's push sent a 7-foot Jokic. What happened? Oh, I can't stand. Hey, oh no, I'm gonna fall.
Durant's been hitting that chest press a little more often lately.
I know.
There's some hidden muscle in there.
It must be
that really, really skinny 6'8" guy.
Yeah, Jokic is officially 6'11", 284. Okay, so think about what it would take to knock a 7-foot guy who's 284
and what's the rumor?
Back on his heels.
He grew up on. There's like a food that he grew up on that's like it's high in fat.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we've all seen the photo of him like as a 13-year-old and just a chubby, chubby kid.
Yeah, exactly. Durant 6'10", 240. So Jokic has got 45 pounds more on Durant and about 2 inches in size. And Jokic acted like he got hit by a train.
Right.
I mean, Kevin Durant.
It didn't even look that hard. It looked more like, get out of here, man. It wasn't like a physical assault. These guys are all trained properly, aren't they? Is there a flopping class that everybody goes to in training camp?
In Europe, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, you gain that knowledge from playing soccer.
No, I don't mean getting the knowledge of playing soccer. I mean, like, is there a class? Is it taught by, like, today, the art of the flop? Okay, we're going to learn to fall and wail your arms around when you get contact, all right? Let me see. Could two people come up here? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Yeah, is there like a
so –
today's the day we're learning how to do that.
I love this article that came out. This is right after what was this, 2017, right around when he was drafted.
Right.
You know, talking about how Jokic weighed nearly 300 pounds when he got drafted. And he, you know, he credits all that to drinking about a gallon of Coke a day.
Wow. A gallon of Coca-Cola.
And then living on such food, a Serbian food called Sivapi sausage and various other meats and a ton of candy.
Is that why Luka Doncic is a heavy beast too? He's a heavy guy.
Maybe, yeah.
Luka Doncic is heavy. Now, where's he from? I forgot. Where?
Probably somewhere around that.
He's a heavy boy too.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Durant almost sent him flying.
Oh. Whoa! Yeah, no kidding.
I'm just glad that Jokic didn't hit the ground. I thought for sure he was going to go down.
Yeah.
And then sliding, you know, do that whole thing sliding across the floor and. You're looking at it like, come on, dude. You can't sell it that much.
No, I get it.
Start rolling around, grabbing your ankle, seeing if the refs notice. They don't, okay, I'll just stand up.
So, again, there will be a game 6 Thursday night. I wouldn't be surprised if this is like 7 games, especially if Chris Paul comes back.
Yeah.
Chris Paul comes back, yeah.
No, let's end back home. There's going to be some, there's home court feelings that you're going to have that you're going to play great. I mean, I expect Devin Booker not to miss a shot.
Right. I know. Especially again. DeAndre Ayton suffered a injury in the first quarter, but he did finish with 14 points. He does. I was saying this earlier. Poor DeAndre Ayton has been sort of left out. I know people have been criticizing him. It's wide open for criticism on his play. He has the challenge of making it difficult for Nikola Jokic. He has to, you know, he's not going to stop Nikola Jokic, but he has to make it honest. He has to make it so there's a little work involved, and he's not necessarily doing that. And last night he got hurt. He was in the first quarter, said that there was, you know, a little bit of a run in with Bruce Brown, but he said he'll be okay. But that's not really the issue. The issue is offensively. DeAndre Ayton, again, 14 points, but that's not what they need from him. But with Chris Paul, that could change for him. But they're going to, you know, here's the problem with Phoenix right now is that they get production from Devin Booker. They get production from Kevin Durant. Can they count on Jock Landale, right? Can they count on Landry Shamet? Can they count on other guys, Terrence Ross, TJ Warren? Can they count on other people on a night-to-night basis to take? Can they do that? Because Shamet's buckets, they desperately need it in their winning game 4. I mean, if they don't have him hitting those key threes when they hit those key threes. We talked about this with Lonnie Walker and the Lakers. Like, you sometimes get a performance that you go, my God, what would have happened if we didn't? It doesn't mean you would lose by the amount that they gave you, because you could have gotten you might have gotten points on that possession with somebody else, but it does wake you up to the notion that individual was extremely important, and we don't normally have this person doing that on a night-to-night basis. Is that what's happening with Phoenix, where it's great that Kevin Durant and Devin Booker each had 36 in game 4? It's great. But Shamet's three-pointers were extremely important, and DeAndre Ayton's absence offensively has been an issue. When Chris Paul comes back in game 6, if he does, then that obviously changes the entire formula for this. I've said before, I think the Nuggets are a fantastic team. Don't get me wrong. But this series has been defined by one person's absence in it since game 2.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And again, you can dismiss it by saying, well, Phoenix won game 3 and 4 anyway. They didn't need him. Well, they kind of still do. I mean, look, how often are you counting on a 78% shooting night from your star player to stay in a game that's pretty nip and tuck and tight? We talked about that game 4 yesterday. That game 4's graph line was right on top of each other for most of the game until it started spreading away from Phoenix's favor in the fourth quarter. So you needed all of Devin Booker's buckets. You needed all of his efficient shooting. You needed all of Durant's buckets. You needed everybody else in their contribution. Now, does Chris Paul change it? Well, yeah, you're not going to extra win. That's not the way it counts. But, yeah, his absence prevented them from stealing game two, which they could have done. They were up by 7 in the fourth quarter. And it might have helped him last night in a game that was tight at halftime. That game might have been different. He might have controlled the offense enough on the Phoenix end so that Denver doesn't explode in the third quarter to run away with it. Now you're pressing. They feel Kevin Durant has been pressing in this series. Yeah, I don't blame him. When he's trailing in the second half in a game on the road that they're trying to take because they know that, hey, look, we walk off this court a loser, right? If we lose this game, we're guaranteed to come back here if we want to win this series. We have to win in Denver at some point. And so you press a little bit and you end up with, you know, issues. So
yeah, but I feel like with like Kevin Durant, it's almost like they're asking too much of him. And it's just one of those things where I keep looking at him, and maybe it's just me. I still don't think he kind of gets the entire Phoenix team yet.
No, I do think there is still a chemistry continuity issue. It's still it helps when you have a veteran with Chris Paul, like a veteran like Chris Paul, and obviously Durant to sort of know how
to play
this is supposed to work, right? And so you've been around a long time enough to make it work. But yeah, and sacrificing depth was going to be a problem in the playoffs. But I think the bigger problem in this was that Phoenix had to be a different basketball team that did it in games 3 and 4, but those were close games. They're going to have to win a game comfortably, and Chris Paul can get them to do that, and we'll see if he does returns to game 6.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we continue, it's Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Brandon Cristal will join us from Denver to talk Nuggets up 3-2. And Nikola Jokic and Mike Malone and a bunch of the guys on the team that have done well. Oh, boy. I like it when we have Brandon Cristal on. He's very good. I've known him for a very long time when I spent some time in Denver. He's very... he's got his tentacles into the Denver sports community, and they're one win away from the Western Conference Finals. And again, we were talking about this earlier. Disrespected is too strong a word, but like it felt like at the beginning of the playoffs, it's like I would take anybody but Denver. Like if you were to go around a room and you know NBA guys and say, who do you think is going to come out of the West? Look how loaded this is, right?
Yeah.
Look how good. Like the Lakers are playing better, and Golden State's the defending champs, and you know the Memphis has got Ja Morant, and they seem to be playing well. They're a 2 seed, and you know, like you could go up and down, and people would go, "Yeah, I like them. I like them. I like them." And then we'd be like, "Denver,
you know what the problem is? I think it's because we don't know who Denver is.
I think there's something about that. Yeah, I mean, he's a 2-time MVP, but like, what do they do?
What draws you in to watch them?
Right.
You know that they don't get a lot of the
national.
No.
They don't get a lot of national games. That was my biggest thing about. Like, don't complain. Like, national media, don't complain, like, on TNT that nobody's respecting Denver. You're not putting their games on.
No, I mean, there's like they're not a draw.
When you are choosing your regular season matchups on a Tuesday night in January, you'd rather have Lakers-Portland, right? Mm-hmm. You'd rather do that. You'd rather do Celtics-Knicks. You'd rather do, matchups. You'd rather do that.
You're putting the star players on. I know Nikola Jokic is a star, but he's not an appealing star. I know he's a 2-time MVP, but there's, you know, there isn't the team around him isn't fun to watch.
Exactly.
I mean, they're disciplined. They play great basketball, but that's not fun.
They have been building up to this kind of moment. It started in the bubble when they were not expected to do anything in the bubble, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals. But again, as we've said many times, what exactly do you take from an appearance in the bubble, right? The big team out of the bubble, if you remember, was Phoenix. Remember Phoenix? They showed up with an outside chance of getting in and didn't get in, right? It was them in Portland. Didn't Portland play pretty well too in the bubble? But whatever, it's forgettable. What you remember out of it was the Lakers won the championship. Very few people remember how the playoffs went. because it was all homogenous. It looked exactly the same. There wasn't a feeling like we were going to Milwaukee for an important game or going to Madison Square Garden for an important game, or we had 2 days to really digest what the travel would be like for a team that went to Memphis or went to New Orleans or wherever. Like anytime we were talking about, when you talk about the playoffs now, and you're not just talking about on the court, you're talking about getting a team back to Miami, back to Los Angeles, back to Phoenix. That didn't exist in the bubble. The bubble looked exactly the same. The court was exactly the same. There was no crowd. There was no atmosphere. There was no memorable moment of hitting a three and watching people in the background faint in their chairs. There wasn't any of that. So it's hard to really take anything out of the bubble that was really memorable. And Denver's run was historic in a way, but yet still forgettable. They won two series in the bubble in which they were down 3-1, right? They were down 3-1 in two series and won both the series to get to the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. But who cares? It's the bubble. We were all dealing with a global pandemic. Most of America wasn't even watching in the first place. So what kind of currency do the Nuggets get out of a bubble run to the Western? Zero currency. None. None, none, and none. Right? So then you get Nikola Jokic is winning MVP awards, right? Back-to-back MVP awards when we're back to a normal setting in the NBA, back to normal schedule, right? Traveling around, playing in arenas, taking 2 days off of the regular season, playing back-to-back games, whatever it is. And the Nuggets last year, the year before, get into the postseason and they lose. So people don't trust them. Because they're a pretty good regular season team when a team flies into Denver on the third game of a 5-game road trip and has to face a guy like Nikola Jokic, and they go, whatever. And so the Nuggets win, and then they go off to Phoenix or L.A. or wherever to play the rest of their games. And the Denver Nuggets go, all right, yeah, but in a series, we'll take care of this. And they did. And every team that played them did. So now you've got, you get this team that has a 2-time MVP, and nobody wants to watch them on television. Nobody. And the networks know it. Very few games. I mean, they weren't completely shut out. There were a couple of games they were on during the regular season, but not like the bigger ones, not with the bigger stars, even if they're not a 2-time MVP. Right? They would rather show Dallas Clippers than show Denver play anybody. Right? Zion in New Orleans when Zion was on the court was a better draw than the Nuggets. Because might as well get Zion on TV while he's playing, right? I mean, it's like, catch the lightning bug when it's flying by your face, right?
That was back in the day when he did play.
Yeah, don't go chasing him in the field because it'll disappear. But
did they know this ahead of time?
Yeah, while he's in your backyard, you might as well bottle it up while you can. Because, you can't, that's not coming down the road at any time soon. But yeah, exactly. That they just didn't get the kind of national attention. And a lot of it was postseason failure, a postseason success that nobody was watching. And now they're the number one seed in the West. And everybody like, well, Golden State's the defending champs and the Lakers are playing good. And the shiny new coin in all of this is Sacramento. And Kevin Durant just arrived with the Phoenix Suns. There's a whole bunch of reasons why I would take other teams rather than this Denver Nuggets team. And now they're a win away from the Western Conference Finals, and they'll be favored whoever they play coming out because, again, they're the number one seed with home court advantage. But, we'll talk to Brandon Cristal about that coming up. So what happened in the NHL last night? I was too focused on my NBA-isms last night to focus on what happened in the last night in the NHL. Dallas did win on the road against Seattle.
Yep.
Carolina throttled New Jersey. They have a commanding 3-1 lead in that series. And I believe the Dallas-Seattle series is knotted up at 2 games apiece. Am I going to have to start paying attention to the Kraken? Am I going to have to start wondering now if the Kraken can win the Cup?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
I mean, I think that'll quickly become America's team unless you're in one of those cities, right?
Yeah, tonight the Panthers can eliminate the Maple Leafs in 4 straight games. What were the Panthers like those aliens in War of the World with Tom Cruise? They were just underneath the surface of the earth, just waiting.
War of the World
for their day. Yeah, War of the World, where they were like, let's attack now. Why not? We've been underneath here for a while, chilling out. Now let's go kill all the humans. Is that the Florida Panthers? They were like, hey, we won the President's Cup last year, and we were knocked out of the playoffs. Now they were like, oh, we're fourth. Oh, woe is us. We have to play Boston. Oh, well. No, they take down Boston in seven, and then they sweep Toronto. They're about ready to sweep Toronto.
So disappointed. I mean, I am starting to feel really bad for Canada.
I am too.
I'm sorry.
I am too, because the Golden Knights throttled Edmonton in their last outing. Now they got played tonight in a game four with Edmonton trying to tie that thing up. They're about ready to lose Connor Bedard to the Chicago Blackhawks in the draft.
Fantastic.
USA, USA. There you go. No, in all seriousness with the Panthers, this is pretty remarkable. Like they're annihilating this Toronto Maple Leafs team that you can't help it. If you're the Maple Leafs, you're like, hey, we took down Tampa Bay. They're the reigning Eastern Conference champs. Boston is not in this anymore. Here's our opportunity. Like here's a real chance in the Eastern Conference. Carolina's going to be tough, but you know, here's a real chance for us. Can't get anything going. Maybe hockey guy is right. Maybe winning in the Stanley Cup is just so hard. It's just so unpredictable. I mean, the Bruins, Colorado Avalanche. Oh, by the way, did you hear the news about Gabriel Landeskog of the Avalanche? He has to have a second knee surgery. Now he's going to miss another full season. I feel terrible about this. When you're a play-by-play announcer, one of the things that you kind of get taught to do, and some people just ignore it, but you kind of get taught to do, is don't ever make assumptions on an injury. Never make assumptions on an injury. Just say what you can say. But never make assumptions. Like, if you see a player get hit in the knee and he suffers, like, you're watching an NFL game, never say, like, don't worry, he'll be back better than ever.
Or right? That right there, that's a torn ACL.
Exactly. Don't ever make any comments about anything like that. Well, yesterday there was this news that Gabriel Landeskog of the Avalanche, he's 30 years old, he's their forward, he's their captain. Well, he had suffered a knee injury prior beginning of the season, and he had to have surgery, and it was supposed to be, like, a good number of weeks, but he was going to return midway through the season. But that turned into a full season. So he was ruled out for the playoffs. He wasn't coming back. He was needing another procedure. Now he needs another procedure, and it's cartilage transplant surgery. He's going to have cartilage transplanted into his knee. And then some doctor pointed out on Twitter, this is so that he can live the rest of his life pain-free or as close to pain-free as possible. His career could be over. I mean, his career could be over. If you're having surgery just to so that when you're 50, you won't be in constant knee pain, then playing NHL hockey seems to be out. But I don't know. But you don't know. But that sounds really bad. Brandon Cristall is going to join us. Talk Nuggets Suns next.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Denver Nuggets up 3-2 on the Phoenix Suns, winning Game 5 last night in Denver, 118-102. And Nikola Jokic had 29 points with 13 rebounds. He also had a triple-double with 12 assists. Brandon Cristall joins us from KOA in Denver on a Progressive guest line. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on hour. How are you, my friend?
Tony, I'm good. Talking Nuggets, actually, with my boss, the great JoJo Turnbow, the radio legend here in Denver.
Please pass along my hello to the good old JoJo. Yeah. I appreciate
Tony
it.
Tony D says hi. Talking to him on Sports Map Radio. He got a big smile. Yeah, he says, I love me some Tony D, but good to talk to you, bud. And obviously a little better for folks around here when it's coming off a big Nuggets win like we saw last night.
I talked about the triple-double from Jokic. What were the two or three other keys last night to how Denver got that Game 5 win at home, a series where the home team has won every game?
Yeah, it was pretty straightforward, right? When you always love post-game where it's, you know, it doesn't come down to one pivotal play. Like, well, we were intense. We played harder. We played more defense. Fast break points. Like, straightforward basketball stuff. But when those things aren't working or you're getting beat on the glass, then it's easy to say, oh, well, we have to rebound better. We have to rotate. We can't let Landry Shamet shoot wide open threes. Would we rather Landry Shamet shoot than Kevin Durant or Devin Booker? Sure. But we don't want wide open where the coaching staff and the guys on the bench are the closest to Landry Shamet. That's what we had in game four there in Phoenix when I was out there Sunday. And so they rotated better. They made things harder. They certainly made things harder on both KD and Devin Booker. And they did a good job at times of mixing up the coverage and the way they sort of, I guess, attacked those guys in terms of picking them up full court, right, and making it just a little bit more difficult. The full court defense, when you have depth, and that's something the Nuggets have, when you have depth, you can expend a little more energy and just make it a little more challenging for them to get down the court, to have to work a little harder. And so I think that they did a good job of doing stuff like that. We've seen them play great at home. They're, I think, the best home team in basketball, right up there. But on the road, they were less than 500. They're 1-3 in the playoffs on the road to this point. And so I think that they need to have some of that stuff translate. They just haven't been able to do it, but it certainly looked like they were able to, you know, they were the better team by a significant margin in game five last night.
Talk about, let's go back to game four for a second. What was the mood of this team? Obviously, you want to get at least one win in Phoenix. They did not do that. But you're talking about, on the other side, this historical shooting effort by Devin Booker, and yet they almost survived it. They almost were able to overcome that.
Yeah, well, and not just game four, game three as well on Friday night.
You know, absolutely.
I was there for both, and that was one of those things, and that was one of the line of questions that I had for guys post-game was, hey, you were right there, even though you get this historic night from KD and Book, who both are over 60%. Now, they were that twice, right? And you still needed Landry Shamet because you had a historical night from Joker with 53 points and 11 assists. And Jamal Murray wasn't great in the first half of game four, but he was a lot better in the second half, and he gave you 28. It was that you got 11 from MPJ, you got 11 from Aaron Gordon, and it just wasn't enough. But two more buckets from either of them, and you would have been right there. If MPJ doesn't come down and fire up a three with DeAndre Ayton trailing and expecting the shot on a fast break when they're down three, maybe you get a layup and a foul, right, or a dunk and a foul. So they were in the mix of both games. They didn't get blown out. It didn't look as bad as the game two loss here in Denver for Phoenix or the game five loss last night. They're a better team right now. The two best players not named Nikola Jokic are on the Suns, right? I think there's a gap between KD and Book and then Jamal Murray. But after that, when you have Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, what Bruce Brown gave him off the bench, KCP, and then the energy from the rookie and Christian Brown, as well as a little bit of Jeff Green mixed in, they just have a deeper team right now. The Suns in the next couple of years are going to be really interesting to see who they surround Book and KD with. But they were in the mix there, and maybe it, not only do they maybe win tomorrow when the series returns back for game six, but if they do, it'll remind the league, like, hey, they don't have to just play at home. They can win a road game because unless Miami wins the East, Miami or the Knicks, they have a better record than Miami and the Knicks. The Nuggets do not have a better record than the Celtics or the Sixers. And I think by the Sixers, it's literally one game. And that game where Embiid went nuts in Philly is, in theory, the difference of what home court advantage might be. So they would have to play more road games than home games if they're lucky enough to make it to the finals. They're actually lucky enough if the ball bounces their way. And so a win tomorrow night would say, okay, they can also win outside of Denver and beat a really good team that's been really good at home.
I'm sure this is more of a conversation locally, but Ron and I were talking about this Nuggets team is, throughout the season, they're not on national TV a lot. They've had a few games, but not a lot. And yet they have a two-time MVP. Why was everybody looking around going, I like a shiny new toy in Sacramento, or I like the fact that Durant's on Phoenix, or I think the Lakers can come out of the seven seed. But nobody really was wanting to jump on the Nuggets train at the beginning. Does it have a lot to do with the postseasons over the last couple of years, or is there something else that makes people want to navigate to other teams in the Western Conference rather than the Nuggets, who are the top team in the conference?
Well, Tony, I think it's multiple things, but I think you talk about the postseasons the last couple of years, it's easy to say, well, Jamal Murray wasn't there for two of them and Michael Porter Jr. wasn't there for one and a half of them. And so you're nervous that they'll stay healthy, and you still have to be nervous in general, not about Jamal's knee. He's certainly back to, we think, where he was before he hurt his knee. But MPJ has a back that, you know, last time I checked, do you know anyone who used to have a back problem that doesn't anymore? Right?
That's right. Like, good point.
They almost, you know, they're almost always lingering. So you cross your fingers that the guy that you're paying that much money to is healthy all the way through, and not just this playoffs, but, you know, over multiple seasons. But so you have that element of they weren't there, so it was just Joker. It's like, oh, look, they're getting beat in the first round. That was by the eventual champs a year ago, and they lost to the Suns, who went to the finals the year before. So it wasn't like they were getting run out of the gym by the T-Wolves. And
right.
So you have that. Then let's be honest, as good as Joker is, and I think anyone that's played basketball or appreciates some of the nuances of the game, would love to play with him, right? You have yet to come across a teammate, maybe other than Yusuf Nurkic, that didn't like playing with Joker. And so, and honestly, with Nurkic, it's not about Joker's skill. It's that he basically took his job and is clearly better than him, and that's obvious. But because he has some Tim Duncan qualities, right, there's not a flashiness to his game. He doesn't live above the rim. He doesn't look like Giannis. He's not as big a physical freak as Joel Embiid is. And so I think because of that, and even though he has plenty of personality, especially in press conferences, you saw him goof around with Shaq last night post game on TNT. He has that. He has, you know, good smart ass tendencies and all of that. It's not a personality that, you know, is in your face, if you will. So I think when you have arguably the best basketball player on the planet right now, and it's not that long of an argument, but he's not exciting, if you will, then there's a muted enthusiasm. And so I think it's all that plus, can they win on the road? Is Michael Malone a good enough coach? And until they rewrite those narratives, especially the Malone piece, like Malone made zero rotational changes from game four to game five. And I think he wanted to stick to his guns. Clearly it worked for him last night, but there's been plenty of criticism that he can't get him over the hump, even though you can point to not that Joker isn't exciting to watch for, you know, casual fans, but sure, the injuries, while they aren't an excuse necessarily, they are a factor, right? Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. make them better, and not having them in the playoffs last year is going to limit you. And then you make two great acquisitions with KCP and Bruce Brown, and that allows Aaron Gordon, even though he's paid really highly, to truly be a fourth option and at times a fifth or even a sixth, and focus on defense. And so I think that they've got the right mix. And so if they can advance, they match up kind of well with both teams in that, you know, they create a challenge, they'll have their challenges too. And so maybe it's all coming together and the health will be on their side. And we'll not only see the first ever finals appearance by the Denver Nuggets, but maybe perhaps their first ever trophy as well.
If Chris Paul comes back for game six, how do you look at the way that series was going when he was in it, and what his return might mean for the way Denver plays the Suns?
They were up eight in game two when he got hurt.
Yeah.
And you got to love Chris Paul if you like good, smart basketball. And Chris Paul has been as good and as smart of a player as we've seen in this league for a long time. At point guard, there's not too many point guards you'd rather have, especially in their prime over the last decade or so, right? An early 30s pre-injury Chris Paul was as good as it gets in those, you know, elbow-to-elbow jumpers. I don't know what his percentage is on him, but it feels like every time he takes when they're going to go in, and even when they don't go in, they look good, right? But great in the pick and roll, such a smart floor general. The biggest thing about having CP3 back is that it'll take pressure off all of the bench players that have had to step up, like Landry Shamet and certainly Campaign and go on down the list, and it helps Monty Williams with his rotations. I think it limits you defensively, and that could be a problem, but it also allows Devin Booker to play more freely and not have to worry about having the ball in his hands to set the offense. Not that he won't have his ball, you know, won't have his hands on the basketball plenty. It's that CP3 can get it down, get him into their set a lot of times, or call whatever. And that's one less, I guess in theory, two less things for Booker to worry about, not only getting the ball down court, but also, okay, what are we running here? Because Chris Paul won't handle all of that.
Brandon Cristal, KOA, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much. Love to you guys out there in Denver. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Fingers crossed. We got another round here in Denver to talk to you. So holler at me again, Tony.
You got it, Brandon. Brandon Cristal at KOA. Again, the Nuggets up 3-2, but they got to go to Phoenix and they got to win game six. That'll be on Thursday night, and the home team has won every game in this series, and it is possible that Chris Paul comes back for the Phoenix Suns. We'll come back, wrap up the hour and this show on Sports Map Radio. Glad you could join us here on a Wednesday.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks to Brandon Cristal in Denver. And, you know, I think Phoenix is going to win Game 6. I think this is going back to Denver for Game 7. And I think we're going to have a very interesting game if Chris Paul is back. Because as Brandon said, they were up 8 when Chris Paul went down. Phoenix was winning that game. And then Chris Paul got hurt, and then the dynamics changed. You have to adjust so quickly on the fly that Denver got back into that game and won that game too. And then Phoenix took care of business in game 3 and 4. But as we were talking about, right, like Denver almost survived games 3 and 4 with the historical output from Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, especially in game 4. They almost pulled it off. They needed 53 from Jokic, but they almost pulled it off. So this has been a fascinating series. And when Paul comes back, I think it's going to add another layer to this. It's going to be really interesting in Game 6 if he does, what it's going to look like. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. They hear that a lot of chicken dinner at casino.com because they have so many winners, because they have so many ways to win, including slots, blackjack, poker, and more. And of course, you can step into the sports book, bet on any sport. It's now the perfect time to play. With the NBA playoffs going along, Major League Baseball's in full force. You got the PGA's championship coming up later this month. And right now, listeners of Sports Map Radio and Wake Up Call can get a special welcome offer. Go to chickendinnercasino.com/sports and get a 50% first time welcome bonus up to $1,000. That's right. Get a 50% welcome bonus up to $1,000 when you go to chickendinnercasino.com/sports. So what are you waiting for? Become a winner winner today at chickendinnercasino.com. Remember, add that backslash sports for your special welcome offer. Again, winner winner chicken dinner at chickendinnercasino.com. So anyway, with the NBA playoffs tonight, Lakers have a chance to wrap it up. I don't think they will. I think Golden State will win tonight, but I don't think it matters. I think most people have sort of pegged that. And then you've got the Miami Heat could advance and sit back and enjoy the Philadelphia 76ers-Boston Celtics series.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to win tonight.
And if I'm a betting man, I'm not, because I don't really understand betting. But if I'm a betting man and this bet was presented in front of me, I think I would take it and just say, you know, the Heat advance before either, you know, the Lakers do.
I cannot believe how quickly a narrative can change. We talked about this, I think, yesterday. When Giannis went out in game one in that Milwaukee series and Tyler Hero was out later in that game, I thought, well, the Heat are definitely done and the Bucks are not definitely done. The Bucks can overcome this. They'll get it. But the Heat, forget it. Even with Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, there's no chance without Tyler Hero. And now they're one win away in the next 3 games of going to the Eastern Conference Finals without him. What a change in narrative. What a change for a team that could not lose Tyler Hero. Could not lose him. Especially with Giannis in Milwaukee. Giannis, they kind of were wondering when he would come back. Like, he hurt his back, but the x-rays were negative. Nothing was broken, you know, bruised. Or like, they got good feedback back when they checked him out. So they weren't going to play him in game two. He could have came back for game three, but Budenholzer was going to just sort of play it safe just because they had won game two. But when Hero went down with like broken hand, he was out forever. That was it. No, he was never coming back in these playoffs. And I thought, well, they're never ever coming that. And not only did they overcome that, they're about ready. Tonight, if they put the Knicks away, second straight 5-game series.
Yeah,
and I think basketball teams 4-1,
and they're going to. I mean,
I think, you know, so too.
I mean, Milwaukee at least looked like at times that they belonged in the playoffs. I mean, not barely, but they, you know, they haven't looked as bad as the Knicks. No one's looked as bad as the Knicks in these with the teams remaining.
I was years ago. I watched a documentary on Bobby Fischer, the chess player.
Yes,
the chess master. Now he went crazy and said some really crazy things before he died.
As one would if you played chess all the time.
I think so.
That's why the Queen's Gambit was so big.
Right, exactly. His sanity started to erode, and he ended up becoming like Zion. He was talking about Zionists and all this. It was crazy. But there was one part of the documentary, there was one Russian chess master, not Garry Kasparov, but another one, who said, he knew where I was going before I sat down in the chair. He already knew what I was going to do. That's Eric Spoelstra to Tom Thibodeau. That's like, he owns Tom Thibodeau. He knows what Tom Thibodeau will do for adjustments before game five, before Thibodeau knows what to do, before he goes to the drawing board. He just owns every single playoff game against Tibbs, no matter who Tibbs is coaching. Spoelstra's got him figured out. And the Knicks, if they don't have a level of urgency tonight, they're going to get blown out in their gym. They're going to lose in their own gym. Now, there's a feeling at the Garden that I have to say is going to have to come out, just like the Warriors are going to have at the Chase Center. Like, when you got Spike and Chris Rock and Adam Sandler and all the stars, and they're all in the front row, and it's fun to show off in front of those guys, right? But you're going to have to play with a level of intensity and urgency that have not shown in this series, have not shown at all in this series. And otherwise, the Knicks' trip to the postseason is going to end tonight. And I think the Golden State Warriors are going to are going to hold court tonight and win. And then, of course, Thursday, we've got Boston against the ropes and Phoenix against the ropes. Boston is going to have to win in Philly, and the Suns are just going to have to hold home court to extend. So these are pretty good Western and Eastern Conference finals.
I unfortunately think Golden State. And you know what? I really don't want this corgi to be right. Have you seen this video, this corgi?
Oh, no. I saw it on Twitter. I saw something on Twitter. I didn't watch the video.
This corgi, I mean, you know, I guess he's a he's borderline groundhog-ish. Predicting everything, but he's accurate. And he, so far, has predicted every step of this Lakers-Warriors series. And unfortunately, he bounces a ball with his nose into a laundry basket. He's at the top of the stairs. The laundry basket is at the bottom of the stairs. And the last two shots ended up being for the Warriors.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so we're going to trust the corgi bouncing a ball downstairs?
No. I'm not trusting.
Come on now. Don't get that superstitious.
I'm not wanting this corgi. I want to prove the corgi right. Wrong. Right. Listen, the queen is dead. So we don't need no corgis anymore in our life.
We don't need no corgis. That's right. Queen is dead. NFL schedule release Thursday night. We brought this up earlier. They announced their international games, 5 of them. They've also leaked out a couple of battles while no full schedule has been released.
No.
We know that there's a Black Friday game the day after Thanksgiving. Yep. It'll be the Jets and the Dolphins. That's going to be awesome.
We have that now. Okay.
Yeah, we also saw I don't know if this is true. I didn't see it verified, but I saw it on Twitter. Has it been verified that the Bills and the Bengals will play on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve? I think I didn't see it officially. I didn't see it like from an NFL source.
The only thing I saw that was that has not been verified either was that Donna Kelsey leaked part of the Chiefs schedule.
Oh, yeah?
So we know that the Chiefs
Kelsey leaked the Chiefs schedule?
Mama Kelsey. And because we know that the Chiefs are playing Thursday night. They're the opening game.
Okay.
And they're probably going to play somebody really good. So you have to figure, I think on their docket is the Bengals. It's the Dolphins. But we know the Dolphins they're playing the Dolphins in Germany. The Chargers are up there as well. So that's probably going to be a game week one.
Right.
A really good, tasty matchup to kick off the NFL season. Apparently, week two, the Chiefs and the Eagles will be playing. And that's why Donna Kelsey was bringing it up.
Gotcha. Okay. So she was given advance notice that week two is when her two sons will meet again.
Play again. Right.
Gotcha.
But it's not 100% certain.
Gotcha.
So we don't know.
Okay. We don't know.
It hasn't been verified, but, look out for that one.
I took it upon myself to double check to see if it had been officially released the two holiday games, and it now has. I was wrong. It's not Cincinnati against Buffalo. It is Cincinnati against Kansas City. That game is on New Year's Eve.
Well, there goes that party.
Christmas Day, the Giants are playing the Eagles. So they
aren't they doing three games Christmas Day?
If they are, they haven't announced the other two.
Yeah, I heard. What day is Christmas this year?
But one of the days, I think it's a Monday.
Is it a Monday?
I'm gonna check real quick. You got me thinking. You got me thinking. Let's go to December. It's a Monday.
It's a Monday. Yeah. All right. But I've heard a rumor that they were gonna do three games on Christmas Day.
Yeah, they might, and they just haven't announced them. But there's one that has been released, and it's the Giants in Philadelphia.
I'm saying it right now. We said it last year. We're gonna say it again. NFL's coming after you, NBA.
Yeah.
I
would be surprised, but I wouldn't be that surprised if they put three games on Christmas Day. But that's a lot when you give when you have the schedule the way it is, where you want to play it, you want to wrap it up on the weekend and then give it time to advance.
Well, they probably they probably look at it and go, we do three games on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
everyone's watching,
true.
So everyone's
that's
home
true.
On Christmas Day. Why not have three games?
Right.
So wouldn't you rather watch the football over basketball?
Oh, haven't we all determined that that the NFL
they're coming for you.
They're just letting you have holidays if you happen to be scheduling games. They're allowing your existence when they're playing. And by the grace of the NFL, we can play 5 Christmas games as the NBA. Yeah, that's basically it. All right, we'll see you tomorrow for Throwback Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. Lombardi Line's coming up next on Sports Map Radio Network. Appreciate you.